Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Okay, everybody, I want you to take all your cynicism, your crankiness, your snarkiness, and just put it aside for the next 20 minutes. It'll be there when you get back. As we ramp up for the winter holidays, there was great news yesterday. Disney Plus heard the outcry about the Peanuts gang going behind its paywall for the holiday season, so Disney Plus is going to allow PBS to air Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, that's a classic. So is It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story. But how about something new? Today we're joined by writer and film director David E. Talbert to learn about his fantastical, magical new musical, Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey, now on Netflix. It looks and sounds great, with the music team including Grammy-nominated producers like Harvey Mason Jr. and musicians like, oh, John Legend. In Jingle Jangle, the protagonist is Jeronicus Jangle, a super toy maker, in a magical, vibrant place called Cobbleton. Here's a taste of the film's big opening number with young Jeronicus handing out toys to the townspeople. Here is This Day. Things don't stay that happy. When Jeronicus's protege, played by Keegan-Michael Key, betrays him and steals all his toy plans, we follow Jeronicus into his old age as he loses his mojo and his joy. He is played quite sweetly by Academy Award winner Forest Whitaker. It's up to his inventive granddaughter, Journey, to reawaken the magic within and help him believe in possibility again. David Talbert has written and produced 14 national theater tours. He's won Best Playwright of the Year for The Fabric of a Man, has won the NAACP Trailblazer Award for Accomplishments in Theater, and now he is bringing some joy to your world. David, welcome.
Hey, good to be here. I was bobbing my head.
You can't help it.
That's good, feel good.
So I read this originally was inspired by a poem you wrote. How did it go from a poem to a Christmas musical?
Well, it all, because anything you start with, anything you write starts with inspiration. And this musical is really a love story to yourself and to the belief that we all have as a child and through life. It's kind of, sometimes it's beaten out of us. But it's a love letter to reclaiming that. And so the poem was, it's in the air, it's in the trees, it's on dry land, it's in wet seas. It's the twinkle in a child's eye, it's the brightest star way up in the sky. Love, it fixes whatever's broken. And when doors start closing, love keeps them open.
That does sound like a good Christmas. A Christmas musical. I get why you made the leap. My favorite YouTube comment about that piece we just played is, this is like Greatest Showman, Hamilton, Dreamgirls, The Nutcracker, and The Wiz were all whipped up together.
I like that one.
It's a good one. It's accurate, too. But your inspiration goes back to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Willy Wonka. What magical elements of those movies did you know you want to capture?
Well, it was just a sense of anything was possible. And, you know, in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, this car could fly, and you could fly with it. I mean, and then you had this inventor who was a bit of a nutty scientist. And then Willy Wonka, I mean, just this whole world that he created in this river with chocolate, mm-hmm. and you could eat everything. And Gene Wilder, this kind of mercurial kind of introverted, twisted, strange man, Willy Wonka, played by Gene Wilder. And so it just heightened my imagination. And there wasn't anything that wasn't possible. And so when I became becoming an adult, which is a trap. Never grow up. Mm-hmm. It's a trap. then I said, it's time for me to write something that reminds me of the joy of my childhood. And this was it.
In your description of Willy Wonka and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, it makes me have to ask a lot of questions about the set and the costume and the production design. It's extravagant. It's colorful. It's sort of Victorian steampunk. What did you, for people who have seen, you know what it reminded me of? If people have seen Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, it's got that vibe.
Now I have to watch that. What's the name of that?
Natasha and Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 was a Broadway show with Josh Groban based on War and Peace. Go watch it. It's going to blow your mind.
I love that. Okay, I got you. Okay. I'm going to add that to my list.
Definitely. What did you want to evoke with the brightly colored waistcoats and women in neon petticoats and velvet top hats?
It was, for me, I love the Victorian era and all the Dickensian feel that the movies, Ebenezer Scrooge and all of those. But what I wanted to do is, because, of course, the representation is obvious. It's a black inventor. Mm-hmm. And in the 1800s, that means either defected from the States because of what was going on then, or this is a first generation removed from Africa, or second generation. So that means the roots would still be there. So we wanted to mix. My wife, who's a lead producer, spoke with the costume designer, Michael Wilkinson, and said we wanted to infuse the Victorian era with authentic patterns from Africa. So he flew to Ghana and got these patterns, and he mixes Victorian with prints from Ghana and Nigeria, and that's why it's so vibrant. So it kind of just wakes up that era.
The choreography is as well, right? The choreography, I recognize some Caribbean dance moves. Who was the choreographer?
That's all Ashley Wallen and Jenny Griffin. And Ashley choreographed The Greatest Showman. So I love that film and the movement in there. And so I brought him on, but we wanted to infuse, you know, kind of the movement of the Motown movement with, mm-hmm. you know, the three guys that pop up during Miss Johnson's song. And we wanted to do some, mix it with some traditional African dance, like in Make It Work. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of wanted to just show a full range of performance that you cannot just watch this film and not tap your feet or want to get up and dance. You can't.
My guest is David E. Talbert. We're talking about Jingle Jangle, which is now on Netflix. So, you know, we're introduced. There's a lot of interesting, and I don't know if this was purposeful or not, but there's a lot of technology and STEM and math in this script as well.
It was. When I saw, there's a couple movies that inspired me. One was A Beautiful Mind. And then Hidden Figures. So I wanted to let this be at the forefront of because there were so many unheralded scientists and inventors, alchemists and I wanted to infuse that in the storyline to kind of pay homage to those that may not have gotten, you know, credit for their work or their genius. So I wanted that to be at the forefront of magic would be science and math and alchemy.
When we meet Jeronicus Jangles, a young toy maker, he's vibrant and excited. He's played by Justin Cornwell. And then he has this sort of descent. And we meet Forrest Whitaker. He's lost his wife. When he's played by Forrest Whitaker, I should say, and he's a bit depressed. He's going to lose his business. And there's so much of this movie that is about resilience and the power of believing in oneself. What kind of conversations did you talk about with Forrest? Because he's got to go from one state of mind to another.
Well, Forrest, the reason I begged that man to be in this film is I knew that I needed someone who would ground the character so it would not become a caricature. Mm-hmm. and that he would find the humanity in this. And Forrest made a really risky, he made a really risky choice as an actor to hold back his joy all the way to the point where you're like, is this man, man, can he just, and so, but then when he smiles and we earn that smile and that joy, then it just brightens up the world. And that's why he's on the Mount Rushmore of actors, and he's such a brilliant performer. But he gets in, he wants to understand what is the journey of this character and what is the path to get past the pain to the joy.
And Kegel, Mike, and Key, people know from Key and Peele and a whole bunch of other great movies. He plays his protege, who's turned out to be a bad guy, steals all the plans for all the good toys. Now, Kegel Michael Key's really funny, but he's also, I believe he's just like a trained Shakespearean actor. But so in this movie, he's both funny and evil. How did you get the balance right?
Well, I mean, most of the villains, they're not one-dimensional. They're not just bad for the sake of being bad, but there's something that's triggered it. And so there's goodness in every bad person. It's just whether something will reawaken that, or whether they will give into, like the classic Darth Vader, you know, he's given into the dark side, but there's still good in him. So that's what I wanted to present with Keegan. And one of the last moments when, I don't want to spoil it, but one of the last moments in the film, he has this wonderful moment, and you see that goodness is in them, it's still in him, but maybe it's too late.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of Keegan Michael Key in the role of Gustafson. This is Magic Man G from Jingle Jangle.
There's a feeling you're feeling way down, down deep in your soul. There's an emptiness you can't hide, I can smell it through your clothes. And the only thing that can fill you up is hidden behind these doors.
Tell us what it is.
You really want to know?
Yeah, tell us what it is.
Well, come in close. What you're about to witness, you've never ever seen before. It's gonna be on every wish list as soon as it hits the stores. Do you know who's got the brilliant mind to supply your needs?
We know who it is.
The Magic Man G.
That is from Jingle Jangle. My guest is David E. Tauber. We're talking about his new film, Jingle Jangle. And can you give a shout out to the young girl who plays Journey?
Madeline Mills is everything. That little girl is like when I saw Shirley Temple or when I saw Judy Garland. Mm-hmm. It's just this kind of an old soul in a young person's body. And she came in, we did this worldwide talent search and narrowed it down to five finalists, and we flew into New York, Forrest and I. And as soon as we saw her, we knew she wasn't there to audition for the role, but she was there to claim what was hers.
What do you hope this film provides for kids of color especially?
I think an invitation into this world that, you know, you have a seat at the table. And you know, I have a 7-year-old son, and when I showed him this film and the look on his face was you see the possible, and you see you are part of magic. You are as magical as all the other races. And that's important. I think that's what every parent or, you know, that wants for their children. And I think that connects. It's what humanity needs. It's like, you know, it's we're all magical. We all have a seat at the table of wonder. And it's important. It's important for me as a father of a little black boy. But it is important for the world to embrace.
Well, I will tell you, my 12-year-old was watching the NBA draft. And he heard, he could see me watching it out of the corner of his eye, and he slowly wandered over to watch. And that's something, to take a 12-year-old boy away from the NBA draft.
Let me tell you something. It is something that has been over. I'm telling you, I have been overwhelmed because you know the intention is to put this joy and this light out into the world. But my goodness, what I'm getting back from it has just been really overwhelming, and I'm just very thankful that it doesn't always happen this way. But I'm very thankful that it landed and it has moved people, and especially in the times that we're in right now, that it reminds us that there's light at the end of the tunnel, there's hope, and that we can sing, and that there's love still abounds.
I've been speaking with writer and director David E. Talbert about his film Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Journey. It is now on Netflix. David, thanks for this film.
Thank you, and for the interview. Great interview.